Good to be here this morning, and I believe God's got a particular word for some of us this morning. And it's really that phrase, and it's not a biblical phrase, it's a phrase I think from Socrates that says, know thyself. And I really want us to know ourselves today, to understand who we are and begin to live that out. How many of you have had physio? How many of you had physio? Is it painful? Is it natural to do? But does it reap its benefit? I was Gordon, who's not here this morning. He had broke his hip, and he had an op, and we had a meeting in the week, and he made it walking. He's 80 years old, and yet he came to church for his meeting 2 weeks ago, having had an accident and broken his hip. He was here walking into church. And when I went to visit him in the hospital, he was determined to do the physio. And if you know anything about Gordon, he's got a lovely wife called Angela as well, who is a nurse, and who would make sure, as he said when he got home, I'm adjusting to the new regime. I hope she's not on Zoom, otherwise I'm in trouble. They are on Zoom. Sorry. Oops, you forget. But actually, there is something significant about doing physio to get something that was dead or something that was new to get it working again. But it's not very comfortable. It doesn't feel natural. And you almost have to, like Gordon is at the moment, learning to walk again. And sometimes it is painful. It goes against all that we think we should do. But it actually gets us moving and living and working. And what I want to do today is to help us in these next few weeks understand how we need some spiritual physio and what spiritual physio is like. Because if you remember 2 weeks ago, it wasn't my chemistry lesson, but we looked at these circles, which I think really helpfully help us understand who we are as human beings. It doesn't explain everything, but for me, it's really helpful. It reminds us that we are made up of our flesh, our desires and our needs from our flesh. We also have a mind, and we also have a will, and we also have emotions. And this is how God made us. And all these are good things. All these things is how God made us. But as we talked about, we are also made to connect with God by our spirit. And actually, since the fall, since Genesis, the explanation of Genesis is that part of us died. And we were created to allow God and God's Spirit to connect with us and to control our mind, emotions, will, and flesh and appetites. And that's how we were designed to be. That's how God created us. And yet it all went wrong because after the fall, we read that the Spirit died. And in dying spiritually, we also began to die physically, and that's when death and the younger age came into our world. But ultimately, that's what's happened. But we have to learn as Christians that when we become a Christian, when we put our faith in Jesus, immediately God's Spirit comes inside of us and we become alive again. We become as we were created and made to be. We were made to connect with God, and we were meant in that connection for God's Spirit to be that control center in our lives that will enable our mind, will, emotions and flesh to be ordered, to be controlled, and to be for the glory of God. That's what happens. The problem is that when we become Christians, we are all so used to allowing living without the God, without God's Spirit in us, without that control center. And so naturally, all of us tend to have natural tendencies to control the way we live. And we either use our mind or our emotions or our desires. Something controls us. And that's when it gets out of control. That's when things go bad, when we emphasize one of these things over another, when we don't allow God's Spirit to control us. And that's when things go wrong. But when we become alive as Christians, God's Spirit comes inside of us, and we can then begin to start living as we should. But the problem is, We are so used to being controlled by our emotions, mind, will, and flesh that actually we still make the same mistakes we did before we were a Christian. And I want to use the story of Elijah from 1 Kings 19 to give us a bit of physio, to begin to help us deal with who we are. And if you've got your Bibles open, it will be really helpful because we're not going to read it all, but it's a very important passage for us to begin to understand how we need to allow God's Spirit to control these areas and how we need to start doing some spiritual physio that we don't make the mistakes that we did before we came to know Jesus. And so we read in 1 Kings 19, it begins in, I don't know any other story, but 1 Kings 18, Elijah went to Mount Carmel to battle the prophets of Baal. And basically his challenge was simple. If Baal is God, serve him, or if the Lord is God, serve him. We have a choice. We all have that choice. Do we believe the God revealed in Jesus is God, or do we feel there's other gods or other ways of living? We have a choice. And this is what happened on Mount Carmel. And in Mount Carmel, Elijah came. He brought the whole people together and they had a battle-off. They had a face-off between the two gods. And ultimately, we read that Elijah set up the sacrifice. He poured water over it to make it even harder. And then he prayed. And fire came from heaven and burnt up the sacrifice. And all the people saw this and said, the Lord is God. And when you say, the Lord is God, that's when God's Spirit comes inside you and you become alive. For us, it's not fire on a sacrifice on Mount Carmel. What is us is when we see Jesus' sacrifice accepted by God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And if we believe that Jesus is God, and if we believe that God raised him from the dead, that is the way you become alive spiritually. That's the way you become a Christian. That's the way that God's Spirit comes and lives in you. And hopefully this morning, if you don't know that, if you're not alive spiritually, it is simple. You just have to believe that Jesus died for you, his sacrifice was accepted and proved by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And if you're not convinced of that, use this Lent, this 40 days, to look at the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, because that's the fundamental thing to our faith. If you believe that, then God's Spirit comes in life and you can start living how you were made to live. All good so far. But we then read, Elijah then started to then go back to his old tendencies. Elijah, this great prophet of God, who had God's Spirit within him, who God used mightily, then began to need some physio because he started to get things wrong. Because we read this in 1 Kings 19. We read, now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel, one woman, sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Simple message. Just recall the thing. Elijah had just seen fire come down from heaven. He'd just seen the whole people back him and say, the Lord is God. He'd actually already slaughtered and got rid of the 450 false prophets of Baal. And yet, here he was in his great victory, in his great standing before the people, and he gets a message from Jezebel. I'm going to kill you. Now, in comparison, you would have thought he would not be worried or affected by this. Because he'd just seen God work mighty wonders. He'd also begin to see that he then prayed for rain, and rain came, and the drought stopped. He was the hero. No one could touch him. And yet he gets a message from Jezebel. One simple sentence, and it threw him completely. It knocked him. And so actually what we need to realize is that sometimes we are so controlled by our mind that actually when thoughts come into our mind, we let our mind control our emotions and our will and our flesh. And this simple sentence that came to him, he then dwelt upon, he then believed, he then mumbled over and thought it was true. And he allowed this one outside thought into his mind. And he ran in fear. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. By one simple message, one simple thought into his mind. And that reminds us that actually, it is through our minds often that these thoughts can come in. And when these thoughts can come in, we can ponder them, we can amuse them, they can become bigger and they can affect our emotions, will and flesh. And therefore it's so important that we think about what comes into our mind. Now the Bible says that Satan is a deceiver and a liar. Satan is the one who has power. Why? Because he doesn't have any power in himself, but his power is in he lies and deceives. And the way Satan works is he puts things into our mind. It's what he did in Jesus' temptation. Didn't have any power over him, but he used words to put into his mind to try and trick and deceive Jesus. And really, we don't need to worry too much where these thoughts or words come from, whether they come from Satan, whether they come from ourselves, or whether they come from others. The question is, we need to see, are they true? And it's so easy that we allow our mind with these wrong thoughts, these lies that come to us, the lies we tell ourselves, the lies that Satan may put into our mind. Lies can come, and then they affect our emotions. Elijah was afraid. They affect our choices. He ran for his life. They affected his flesh, as we'll see. He ran out of all his energy. He'd had no food. He just ran in fear because of one thought, one message. And we see how silly that is, but how true is it of us? One simple thing we tell ourselves. Something someone else may say to us. Something that Satan may lie and deceive and trick us. But we need to allow, guard our minds, control our minds with truth. And that's where the Word of God is so important. Because we as Christians, as we've come to believe that Jesus rose again, we come to believe the truth of God's word, that Jesus died for us and rose again. And so we've believed this message, this story of the Bible, and therefore we believe its truth, and therefore we believe all the promises and the words within the Bible are true. And therefore we match all our thoughts against the truth of God's promises and God's word. We may think we're worthless. Maybe a lie we tell ourselves. It may be a lie Satan puts in our mind. But we take the truth that God says, you're beautiful, you're worth, you're a treasure, I love you. Sometimes we think we're not good enough. But actually the Bible says we are righteous in Christ. Sometimes we think we're afraid. We think that this is going to overcome us. This is going to destroy us. I can't cope with this situation I face. I can't cope with this message from this lady. I can't cope. But we read that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We have to guard our minds. And this was the problem with Elijah. You would have thought, having seen what he'd seen, he would have been able to trust God, trust God's promises, know that God was more powerful than any lady, any follower of Baal, anyone trying to trip up God's people. God is more powerful. But he didn't. He believed the lie. And often we fail, like Elijah, because we believe the lies we tell ourselves. We believe the lies that Satan puts into our mind. We believe what we think rather than the truth of what God says. And that's why reading the Bible is so important, because that is truth. That is what we need when they say the Canadian Mounties in Canada, where they have to know false notes. What they do is they don't show them any false notes or forgeries. All they do is they spend hours looking over the real thing. And they're so intimate with the real notes that they can spot frauds easily. That's the same for us. If we want to guard our minds, we need to fill it with God's word, with the promises, with the truth. And therefore this Lent, why not take up a Bible reading scheme? Take up a verse a day. Do something that you can know the truth to guard your mind. That's the physio that we need to guard our mind. We need to put in truth. But Elijah didn't. He heard this, he believed it, and he ran for his life. He was afraid. We read, he came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and yes, you're hearing this right, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. Anyone said that to God? "I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by the food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Then he went into a cave and spent the night there. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." Not in a good place, was he? Not in a good place. But he needs to know himself. And the other thing we need to hear is, if we are going to recognize that in our humanness, our emotions and our can take control of us. And when our emotions take control of us, when we fear, like here for Elijah, what was the thing he didn't get? Did you hear what he said? "I am the only one left." And when your emotions control you, you think you are the only one like that. You think you're the only one who feels that. You think you're all alone and no one can help. You feel that's it. No one is for you or with you. But it was another lie. We read later in the passage that God says, "I have kept," verse 16, "I reserve 7,000 of Israel." And there were other prophets still kept alive by God. He thought he was alone. He thought he was the only one facing this, but it was a lie. And that's why we need to remember, when we face our challenges, that we need to be careful that we put our truth in the word. But also another challenge to us is, the world, as we saw last time, thinks differently, and we live in a world which doesn't have God's spirit and doesn't live unto the truth, and therefore the world gets us to want to respond in certain ways. And that's why it's important that we become part of a worshiping community, a people who love God and follow God, because we're not alone. As we try and live God, as we try and allow God to control us, it's so important that we don't listen to the world's ways of doing it, but we become part of a worshiping community. We're not on our own. There are people struggling and going through the same things as we are, but we are the people of God. We're going to listen to the truth of Scripture, and we're going to allow God's Spirit to speak to us. And that's why it's so important to be part of a worshiping community, to come along week by week, to be part of a life group where you can work these things through. Because ultimately, otherwise our emotions can overwhelm us like they did Elijah. And so we need to remember that as we use our physio, we need to make sure that we fill ourselves with God's word, but we also bring God's people around us. But what else did we see here Not only had God already provided people for Elijah, and we read later at the end of the story that God was going to provide Elisha to follow him. God provides people around us. Maybe if you're struggling under your broom tree right now, think about the people God's put around you and reach out to them and know that they can love and support you. But also we read here that what did God do when Elijah was on that broom tree? He also recognized that his flesh was affecting him. His flesh was controlling his emotions and his mind. His flesh was affecting how he was. And so what did Elijah do? What did God do for Elijah? He fed him. He made him sleep and eat. He dealt not just providing people around him, he dealt with his physical needs. And we need to know, even though we've got God's Spirit within us, we have a flesh, we have physical needs, and we have to look after our bodies. We have to care for it. We are the temple of God's Spirit. And therefore, Paul says we need to look after the temple of God's Spirit. We need to care for our bodies. And that's all part of who we are. And that means that we need to eat well. We need to sleep well. It means we need to do exercise. We are physical beings, and sometimes our physical bodies go wrong and they need to be looked after and cared for. And that's why it's important as Christians that we pray for our physical health, but we also get help for our physical health. And why we pray for our NHS and our doctors as they support to help meet our physical needs, whether that's through good diet, whether that's through exercise, whether that's through physio, whether that's through medication. That's what we do. Because we know that we are physical beings, and God knows that we are physical as well as spiritual and emotional. And sometimes we have to acknowledge that also part of who we are, our mind, our emotions are part of our physical, and they can get out of control and they can get on top of us. And again, we need to make sure that they're looked after. And if they do get out of control, then again, God has provided people to support in that through therapies, through medication. And we need to look after ourselves physically because that's who we are. And God met Elijah's needs physically. And maybe you are struggling because you're not actually looking after yourself physically. Maybe it's because you haven't got God's people around you. Maybe you're not looking after your physical health. And this Lent, maybe it's simply about trying to eat better and sleep more and do exercise. It's a spiritual thing. God cares about us physically. He knows that we are flesh. He knows that we have a mind and emotions and will. He made us. And we need to look after ourselves physically. And that's part of our physio. God's word, God's people, looking after our physical health. And that will help us spiritually, to allow God's Spirit to control us. We then also need to realize that if we are going to get to that place of exercising and allowing God's Spirit to control us and live through us, we need to recognize that prayer and honesty is an important part of that. And there is a point that we need to come to, like Elijah did. He came before God under the broom tree. He was in despair. He was in the lowest place. And the broom tree is very significant in the Bible. We find it in Psalm 120 when it talks about being the broom tree of despair. Job 30 talks about the broom tree again in this idea of a despair and anguish. For some reason, in the Old Testament, when you sat under a broom tree, you were at your wit's end. You were at your lowest point. You were in despair, and you came to that point where you needed to cry out to God. And that is the part of us, that as we want God to connect with our emotions, mind, will, and flesh, we may get to that point, but Elijah cried out to God. And if you want to do your physio, You need to cry out to God. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever's overwhelming you, whatever is your despair, you need to cry out to God and know that God listens, that God cares. And God sets you on a journey back to Himself. And you may be in that point of despair, of anguish, of fear. I don't know what you're struggling, but your mind, emotions, will, or flesh are just controlling you. We need to be around the people of God. You need to listen to God's word. You need to look after yourself physically, but you also need to be honest before God under your broom tree. Just read any of the Psalms and know and see the honesty in that. And know that God cares and God speaks. And we need to come at that point to cry out to God. And it's interesting that God does not answer immediately, but somewhere in acknowledging before God the despair and the need, part of acknowledging before God where you are at is the first sign of recovery. Isn't that what AA and all these other places are about? It's to admit, to acknowledge. And for us, it's to acknowledge there is a God above us. And we are not God. But to acknowledge where we are at. And bring that before God. Pray to God. Be honest with God. And if you're not sure you can be, open up your Bible in the middle. You'll probably come to Psalm, and you'll probably hear the psalmist being very honest to God. And it'll give you the courage to do the same. Just cry out to God. Because that's the first place of allowing your spirit to connect with God, to allow God to start to work through your mind, emotions, will, and flesh. Cry out to God. Begin with prayer. Don't turn away from God. Stop, sit under a broom tree, and cry out to God. Because why is the broom tree so significant? Because trees are significant in the Bible. Because all trees ultimately point to the biggest point of despair and suffering and pain and rejection. Because they all point to the tree that Jesus hung on, where the whole world at midday went dark. God knows about despair and rejection. God knows about the lowest because He took it all on Himself. So be honest with God. We then read that, what's the next part after that prayer and honesty, part of that spiritual physio is we read, so he got up. Oh, the angel of the Lord said to him, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. And then he went, he travelled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb. This was his pilgrimage, having moved from prayer, having cried out to God. God gave him enough strength to begin a pilgrimage of 40 days and 40 nights. He began a pilgrimage to Horeb. Horeb is where God met Moses. Horeb was the place where God met him and encountered him and gave him the Ten Commandments. But more significantly, Horeb was the place where God passed before Moses and said, I am a gracious, compassionate God, full of love and mercy. And so Elijah began this pilgrimage through the desert, to reach out to find the voice of God. To reach out and know that God is for him. To reach out and allow God's Spirit to connect with him. To be able to help him overcome his mind, emotions, will and flesh. To reach out to know that God is in control. To reach out that he could learn to hear the voice of God. And that's a pilgrimage. And maybe this Lent, that's your pilgrimage. As you come in this place of needing God, whatever you're facing at the moment, cry out to him this morning under the broom tree. Know that he understands and cares, and you can be honest. But then know that he's given you strength to make a pilgrimage, to find him, to hear his voice, for him to speak to you. Begin that process of reading God's word. Begin that process of committing to the people of God. Begin that process of wanting to hear God's voice. And this Lent, use it, 40 days. Pick up the Bible. Read it. Commit to being part of a worshiping community. Commit to your life group. Come back. Head back. And it's interesting, Elijah was going back to the place where he knew that God last spoke. Sometimes some of us need to come back. Some of us need to come back to church. Some of us need to come back to our faith that we had when we were teenagers. Some of us need to come back. And you need to make that journey back. And it may not be an instant journey, but begin that process. And begin it over these 40 days. Because ultimately, if we are to allow God's Spirit to control our emotions, mind, will, and flesh, ultimately, what we need to experience is the presence of God, the voice of God. Because when Elijah came back to God, Elijah came to the mount, he poured out his heart to God about all that he'd done, about how he deserved God's blessing, how what God had failed him. He poured it all out to him. Did God answer him? Did God justify himself before Elijah? No. What do we read? He simply said, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. The Lord is about to pass by. God, in my experience, does not answer the questions why. But he comes and speaks life. He brings his presence. He helps you hear his voice. He helps you connect with God's Spirit in you. He allows you to actually hear the voice of God that you can respond to all the other things going on in your life. He speaks. Because it's the presence of God. What do we read? Let's read it. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. Fire from heaven, remember that? Surely he'll come in the fire again. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. What was that voice he heard? That gentle voice? I believe it was Exodus 34. The voice that Moses heard. And what was the voice that Moses heard? We read this. And he passed in front of Moses, Exodus 34, verse 6, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and voice. Why a gentle voice? Because unlike Moses, Elijah needed a gentle voice. He'd seen the fire, he'd seen the power. That wasn't enough. He needed communion, he needed presence, he needed a gentle voice. I am the Lord, compassionate, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in love, forgiving. That's That's what we need to hear. And that's what it is to connect with God's Spirit in you, is to hear the voice of God, to hear His presence, to know His presence, to know Him speak into your life, to know that He loves you, to know that He forgives you, to know that you're accepted and welcomed, to know that He is alive within you. That's what you need. You need to learn to hear His voice. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." You don't need the earthquake. You don't need the wind. You don't need the dramatic miracle. You don't need the complete breaking of the rocks open. You need to hear the voice. You need to know the presence. Because an earthquake you can explain away as a natural phenomenon. A fire could just have happened. But communion, a gentle voice, a communication, that's a relationship. That's the Spirit of God. And that's how He works. And that's where we need to hear. We may have come to believe through Jesus' resurrection from the dead. We may need to come and believe that God died on a cross and understands us in our pain and hurting. We may come to believe, but actually we need to be on belief and we need to hear His voice. We need to know His presence. We need to hear that voice, that gentle voice, speak to us. We need to know the one who says, "I stand at the door and knock." What's the next line? It doesn't make sense. "I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." It's hearing the voice. It's hearing and listening, and that's what we need to do. That's our spiritual physio. There may be things going on in our mind, emotions, will, flesh. Yes, we need to practice the word. We need to be part of a worshiping community. We need to look after ourselves physically. We need to be honest before God. But the most important thing is to begin a journey where we can actually hear the voice of God and hear Him speak. Elijah hid himself. Jesus says, "Open the door. Hear the voice. Please hear the voice." And as you hear the voice, as you know the presence, God will then give you a new purpose. Because the problem with most of our fears and anxieties and temptations, as we began the service, Proverbs says, where there is no revelation, the people perish. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Where there is no revelation of God, we give up, we fail, we give into our emotions, we make wrong choices, we go wrong ways. Where there is no revelation of God, that is the problem. And where we have no purpose. And therefore we put our own purpose into our lives. We put our own goals in place. And when they're not met, our emotions and our mind and our will and our flesh go haywire. But we need that purpose from God. And then God speaks to Elijah. And He says, "Go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Anoint Jehu. Anoint Elisha to survive you. Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. I reserve 7,000 in Israel." He sends him back with a purpose, with a hope. He doesn't mention, who doesn't he mention at all? Jezebel. But He's given him a new purpose. Forget about Jezebel. She's insignificant. That was a lie. I'm not even going to bring it up again. But I've got a purpose for you. Hear my voice. Find my purpose. And walk in it. And therefore you don't need to fear Jezebel or any situation or anyone or anything or any illness or any circumstance or any situation. If you hear my voice, I will give you a new purpose. That's physio. Make sure you become part of a worshiping community. Uncomfortable, isn't it, if you're not used to coming to church every week? Difficult, isn't it? It's a change of routine. Not easy change of routine. We don't like change. But that's spiritual physio. Akin to the Word, finding time to read the Bible. Difficult habit to get into. You're often too tired, or the kids get in the way, or something else distracts you, or your TV program's on, or you're too tired to get out of bed, or it's too cold because you forgot to put the heating on the night before. I don't know what it is. It's uncomfortable to do. But it's spiritual physio. Physically, it's difficult to look after ourselves. Particularly if you've got a family and you're looking after all their needs, it's very difficult to look after your own. It's uncomfortable to start eating properly and sleeping properly and doing exercise. But that's a spiritual thing as well. And then prayer. Oh, isn't that uncomfortable to start with? Feels like you're talking to air a bit, doesn't it? Seems very weird. And praying with others, well, that is really awkward, isn't it? But it's spiritual physio. And then there is coming into the presence of God and opening your hearts to experience Him. It's easier to stay in your cave. Hide at the back of the cave. To keep yourself safe in the back of the cave rather than step out and hear the voice of God. It's a bit risky. What if He does come in the earthquake or the fire? It's a bit dangerous, isn't it? Come out and you encounter a God who will give you peace, give you His presence, and He'll give you a purpose. Interesting, isn't it? We came across a cave, was it 2 weeks ago, when we looked at Samson. He met God in a cave. Interesting, isn't it? Trees are very significant in the Bible because they always point to the cross. Where do you think the cave points to? Come on, anyone awake? So, manger, possibly? The tomb. The resurrection of Jesus. That's where we encounter Him, because Jesus is alive today. He rose again. We can meet Him now. This is not just some historical event to celebrate and think about. This is a living reality. I can encounter the presence of Jesus because I know He rose from the dead. And He will speak. Can we stand together as the worship team come back? I don't know where you are. I don't know why God's brought you here, but I know there was a word for someone here.
Can I just share something?
Please do.
Right. So I have arthritis and I ache and my bones get stiff. And this morning I was feeling particularly, can't do anything today, you know, really sore. And I came downstairs into the kitchen. And I heard these words, and it was from, I was listening, just put Radio 4 on, it was a service, and these words came to me. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, all the days ordained for me were written in your book. And I just thought, praise the Lord. He's just answered me. I can do it. I can get up and I can get on. And this is exactly what I'm going to do. And when Simon was talking, I was feeling really, you know, tearful, because it was like, yes, that's exactly what I got this morning. And it was such a gift to know. And I was so grateful that the Lord had given me that.
Amen. And maybe that's for you. You've come in church in despair. Come under your broom tree. You're perhaps thinking of making decisions and rush decisions because of your fear and anxiety and everything on you. And those decisions you're thinking about are your Jezebels. Give up. It's not worth it. Chuck it in. You can't do it. It's too hard. It's your Jezebel. Come back. Hear God's word. And hear his voice. And I just want us today, because we believe Jesus is here, as we worship now, we're going to sing some songs, and that's great. But I really just want you to encounter the presence of Jesus. I just want you to hear his voice. And as we worship, as we sing of who he is, as we sing of the cross and the resurrection, Jesus will meet you. And you need to hear his voice, some of you more so than others. A real sense that some of you are at your broom tree. You are at despair. You don't know what you're going to do this week, let alone this year. But God wants to meet you. He may not answer your call directly, but he'll reveal himself to you. And he'll show you what you need to do this week. So let's hear his voice as we worship together.